Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 10. Philippians 4, verse 10 through verse 13. We started looking at these verses last week, got through the first point. We want to recap that and then, with the Lord's help, get the other 2 points in tonight and be out here by 8:45. Amen. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, we pray that you would make it come alive to us tonight. Use it to instruct us and encourage us, strengthen us. Help us to not only be hearers but doers of the word. God, help us to look to you for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week we began looking at these verses, pulling verse 13 out, looking at it separately, just so that we know we can't do that. We have to look at it in its proper context. And so the theme of this particular passage is contentment. We are being instructed here by Paul to be content. And he has come to an understanding of contentment in his own life. And we began by defining contentment as that which means to be self-sufficient, to be satisfied, to have enough. It means that we lack or want nothing. It means literally to have everything that you need. And then we talked about who it was that was testifying of this contentment. Paul, who was a prisoner, chained to a Roman soldier, incarcerated in isolation, unable to move about, lost his freedom to work and to minister at the capacity that he once enjoyed. And here he is in prison testifying that he needs nothing, that he has all that he needs and is content. And we began to examine what exactly it is that we have to have. What is it we need to exist? And we decided there were three things: food and water, clothes, shelter. And if we have those things, then we should be content. You'll notice that in Texas, they're looking for those three things: food and water, clothes, and shelter. We began by looking at verse 10, and we said this: contentment is learned. That's what Paul says here. He says, "For I have learned." Contentment is learned from exposure to a combination of circumstances. And so Paul says here that he can abound, he can be abased, he can be full, he can be hungry, abound, and suffer need. He has experienced all of that. And he has learned through those things to be content or to be satisfied and to literally have the attitude and the mind frame that you need absolutely nothing. And what we said last week is this. It seems like in verse 10, speaking to the believers at Philippi who have sent him a gift, he says that he rejoiced in the Lord greatly over their gift, that now, at the last, their care of him has flourished again. It's been 10 years since Paul has received a gift from the Philippian church, but he says he knows that it wasn't because they were careless or they were unconcerned. They were careful, but he says they lacked opportunity. And what we said there was this: if we fail to trust in the sovereign hand of God to be ruler and over all things, we will never, ever be content. God works all things out according to His own counsel and His own will, and He works all things out for our good and for His glory. And if we don't understand that, we'll never, ever come to the place of learning contentment. Paul had learned that through these circumstances, and he knew that if he didn't have it, it was God's will that he not have it. And if he did have it, it was God's will that he had it. And so everything was centered back on God's providence and God's care of him and God being fully in charge of his life. And I can't explain a lot of things that happen, but I know this: God's in control, and God does all things well, and He always moves on behalf of His people's good and for His glory. So contentment is learned, which means that it's difficult. Why is contentment such a difficult thing that we have to learn it? Because it's not natural. We are naturally the opposite. Contentment is not a natural process. It's a learned process. Amen? So Paul says, contentment doesn't come naturally. I learned it through various experiences and through various understandings of God's sovereignty. Now, let's move forward. Let's clear the screen so we can see what we're doing. And let's say, secondly, not only does contentment learn through combination of experiences, but contentment lives independent of our circumstances. Contentment lives independent of our circumstances. Now, where is contentment? Is contentment external? If we are content, where does that happen? Externally or internally? It's internal. Not only is it internal, but it's a divine action. It's a godly action. It's a work of the Spirit. So, we think if we just had this, if we could just gain that, if I could only add that, then I would be content. But the reality is, because contentment is inward and divine, it lives independent of our external circumstances. What is external can't affect the internal. Say amen. That's the idea here. Now again, Paul rejoices over the gift the Philippians have sent him. He's thanking them for it. It seems that they have met a glaring need for Paul. But notice what Paul says. He says, not that I speak in respect of what? Want. So Paul doesn't speak from something that he wants or needs. He's trying to make sure that his thankfulness to the Philippians is not implying that he thought he lacked anything that he needed or wanted. He thanks them for their gift, but he doesn't want them to think that he has been deprived or God has deprived him or God has been cruel to him and has not met his needs. They sent something good, I think. Paul's saying, if God hadn't given it to me, I didn't need it. Say amen. If God hadn't supplied it, I didn't need it. So I don't speak out of need or want. Then he says that he learned in whatsoever state to be what? Content. I don't speak out of need, and whatever the external conditions are, I am to be what? Content. So contentment isn't affected by states, right? Circumstances don't matter. Circumstances do not dictate discontentment or contentment. Or, let me back up. Circumstances should not dictate, because they often do, don't they? Circumstances, external things, should not dictate our discontentment or contentment. He had what the Lord wanted him to have, and that was enough. Amen? And if he hadn't have got the gift from the Philippians, it would have been fine. Paul did not speak from lack because, listen, he was satisfied with little. When you're satisfied with little, you don't have to have a lot. Being a prisoner of Rome did not take away his contentment. Now, they took away his freedom, but they didn't take away his contentment. He was uncomfortable. He was in uncomfortable conditions, but those uncomfortable conditions did not cause him to be discontent. His loss of freedom did not rob him of contentment. And the reason being is that he was satisfied with very little. Matter of fact, he was satisfied with something to eat, clothes on his back, and a shelter over his head. And again, I would say this, there may be many in Texas tonight that are praying to God for food to eat, clothes on their back, and a shelter over their head. Now, we have developed a system of thought where all of our existence is not to satisfy God, but to satisfy ourselves. We have needs that need to be met, desires that need to be fulfilled, and we spend all of our life trying to meet those things in our lives. We want this, we want that, we need this, we need that. So all of our lives are spent trying to obtain those things and pay for those things and take care of those things. Therefore, what defines our needs is not God, but our culture. Our culture defines what we need. Our culture defines what we think we want. Our culture tells us we need this or we deserve that. And it's no longer okay just to be satisfied with a little food and a little clothing and a place to sleep. That doesn't get it anymore because our culture doesn't allow that to be. Paul is saying that he really doesn't have any needs that aren't met. God meets all my needs. Maybe they aren't met as fully as Paul would like them to be, but they are met. Say amen. Maybe I don't have as many changes of clothes as I would like to have, but God meets the need. And Paul's not denying hard circumstances, and he's not denying difficulty in life. He's simply satisfied with very, very little. If I have food and water and clothes and a roof over my head, even though I'm in prison, God has met my need. I'm content. And we're too busy trying to keep up with the Joneses to be content. Paul says, I have a little food, I have a little drink, I have some clothes, I have a place to sleep and a warm blanket. I'm good. But Paul, you don't have the luxuries of life. You don't have these nice things. You got a blanket, but you ain't got an electric blanket. Paul says, I'm good. I'm good. I've got everything I need. No matter his circumstances, Paul was always the same. If he abounded, or if he was abased, if he had plenty, or if he had suffering need, if he was full or hungry, he was always the same. Whatever God decided for him was good. Have you ever thought about that? Whatever God decides for me to have, that's good. Whatever God wants for me, that's good. I'm fine with that. And Paul is satisfied knowing that little is much when God is in it. And while 71% of the world in which we live lives on less than $10 a day, did you know that? 71% of those in the world today live on less than $10 a day. And what are we doing in America? We're trying to decide whether to upgrade to a 4K 55-inch TV. If we are not willing to be satisfied with a little, we'll never, ever be content. The external circumstances don't cause us to be discontent. Contentment, inward contentment, lives independent of circumstances. Amen? Now, we finally get to the verse. Number 3. Contentment leans heavily, put that up for you. Contentment leans heavily on the strength. That shouldn't be independent, on the strength of Christ. Contentment leans heavily on the strength of Christ. The independent shouldn't be there. Must have been the independent Baptist in me. Now, here's the verse that we often misapply. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Does that mean that I can be successful? No. It means you can be displaced in a flood and lose your house and lose your automobile and lose your clothes and lose everything you have and still be content. It means you can be in a prison tied to a Roman soldier and be content. It means that you can be content with a little, have just a little and still be content as if you had much. And so here's the deal. Paul knew that we just can't simply by our will to be content. You can't go to sleep at night and say, I'm going to be content, I'm going to be content, I'm going to be content, I'm going to be content. That doesn't work. He knew that it would take more than a decision for you to be content. Paul knew that the chief end of man was not to meet his needs. The chief end of man was to worship and enjoy God. So, what becomes important? My needs being met or Christ being glorified? Because when we make it about our success, we make it about us. Paul knew that it was not the meeting of human needs that was the issue. It was living to the glory of God who saved him. That was the issue. Say amen. He was content with little of earthly stuff because he had Christ. And if you have Christ, what more do you need? If I have a little food to eat, a little water to drink, clothes on my back and a roof over my head, and I have Christ, what more do I need? Paul does not care that he has much. He just simply does not care that he has much. He's perfectly happy because all he really needs is God. Right? If you take away the food, the water, the clothes, and the shelter, we may die. But if we have God, if we have Christ, we have eternal life. The question is, do we have that kind of contentment? Do I have that kind of contentment? Or do we, or will we admit that we lack the satisfied with little that Paul knew? Now, Paul knew how to live in prosperity. He knew how to live in poverty. He knew how to live with much, and he knew how to live with little. The circumstances didn't change the truth that we live to worship and glorify and honor God. That's why we exist. Do you know why you exist? The purpose of your life? To worship, glorify, honor, magnify God. God does not make much of you. You are to make much of God. Now notice he says here, I can do all things. That doesn't mean all things. It means in the context what he's already talked about. I can be abased, right? Right? I can be abased, I can suffer lack, I can have needs. I can do all that through Christ, which strengthens me. God can take away everything. And I can do that through Christ. You see, it's not success. It's God taking everything away. Can you do that? Through Christ you can. You see, here's the deal. If you are on top of the world, guess what? It can get worse. You get down low, it can still get worse. Be content with where you are. It can get worse. I told my mom she was complaining with some pain that she was suffering. And I said, well, would you rather have that pain or would you rather be down in Texas and your house be flooded and all your stuff be gone? She said, I'd rather have this pain. Yeah. The all here in context means the abasement, to do with little, to be hungry, to suffer need. I can do that. I can live very humbly because I have Christ. So this is not a pressing forward in the strength of our humanness. It's leaning heavily on Christ. And contentment is impossible until we admit that contentment is humanly impossible. I need Christ. Until we acknowledge our weakness, we will never turn to Christ and seek His strength. Because by nature, we're never satisfied. By nature, we never have enough. But let us ask God to enable us to see Him supremely beautiful, supremely valuable, supremely glorious. God, enable us to see that we are, or what we have in Christ is enough. If I don't have anything else and I have Christ, it's enough. Help us to see that in having Christ and peace with God, we lack nothing. Tonight, I don't care what you have or don't have. If you have Christ and the peace of God, you have everything. God, enable us to see what we need, we have, and what we don't have, we don't need. God, enable me to worship God, praise God, glorify God, be faithful to God in spite of whatever circumstances I find myself in. Help me to see that God is enough, not because of my circumstances, but independent of my circumstances. So everything that God assigns Paul to do, he can do. Paul, go preach. I can preach. Christ. Paul, go to prison. I can go to prison. Christ. Paul, go and have your head chopped off. I can do that. Christ. Even imprisoned, let the gospel advance. Let God's will be done in me and through me. Paul says, I'm content, for I can trust the one who strengthens me to do whatever he assigns me to do. Whatever God brings into our life, we can do because he will strengthen us. It takes the strength and the resolution and perspective that only God can provide for us to live above our circumstances. So no matter our circumstances, worship God, praise God, honor God, magnify God, walk with God, speak of God, and serve God. Physical contentment is important for our spiritual walk. Say amen. It is our discontentment that will cause us to walk very superficially with God because we're more concerned about meeting our own needs than being satisfied in how God has met our needs.